Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Will you go to heaven when you die? This question has been asked in many a sermon, invitations, and gospel tracts over the recent decades. Today's sermon is entitled, "Where Are the Deceased Saints?" Let me elaborate on that point. Where are the deceased saints today? Where do born-again believers go when they die? You may be saying to yourself, "Well, that is an easy answer. They are in heaven with Jesus." My response to you is that really true, and can you support that with Scripture? What you will learn from this sermon is absolutely profound and rarely preached on in the 20th and 21st century. However, this doctrinal position was clearly articulated upon by the preachers of old. I will launch this sermon series by looking at a very obscure verse of Scripture that is nestled in a familiar chapter with two very familiar passages of Scripture. The two passages that are well understood and preached upon frequently are John 3:16 and John 3:3, where Jesus is addressing Nicodemus, an honorable Pharisee who was sincerely seeking understanding and recognized that Jesus was a teacher come from God. John 3:16 is, of course, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But the passage that my sermon is centered upon is John 3:13. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Let me say that again. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." As a scientist would do, let us ask ourselves some questions. Is this a true statement? If no, was it ever true? Was it true when Jesus said it? Was it true when John penned it? When was this statement true, if ever? And what event in the New Testament and what passage overturned and negated this verse of Scripture? Almost sounds as if the cancel culture was being exercised 2,000 years ago, or maybe just 100 years ago. Another passage to focus on is Psalm 115, verse 16. "The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." This is not only true in life, but in death and in resurrection. Are you aware that there are three heavens? Paul reveals this very fact in his second epistle to the Corinthians. Enjoy the journey through the Scriptures as I join many passages together that answer these many questions and which emphasizes the conclusion. Please excuse some of the sound quality issues we are experiencing, which is a result of our recording equipment during our services. These problems hopefully will be resolved shortly. I greatly appreciate our program producer, Jeremy, here at Freedom 95 for his fabulous work on editing these sermons and splitting them up into 30-minute episodes. Recording and editing requires a tremendous amount of expertise to make this 30-minute radio program happen each week. Many kudos to my congregation, producer Jeremy, and Freedom 95 for their vast vision in support of religious liberty and liberty of conscience that was near and dear to the preachers that graced the pulpits during the founding of our great Christian Republic. And many thanks to you, my listening audience, for your faithfulness and appreciation. Where are the deceased saints? Part 6. Listen to this quote by D.M. Panton. And I can't emphasize enough for you to look up on your computer, D.M. Panton, David Morrison Panton, and he was from England, pastored a church, Surrey Chapel, and he pastored for 50 years, and Robert Govett, who pastored the church before D.M. Panton, pastored the church for 50 years. They had, that church, Surrey Chapel, had two pastors in a 100-year period of time. Listen to what D.M. Panton said. D.M. Panton is also well known for writing a prophecy magazine newspaper called The Dawn that was mailed all around the world. He had many subscribers in the U.S., in China. Missionaries in China and other parts of the world subscribed to his newspaper called The Dawn. So this is D.M. Panton. He quotes the popular conception that our Lord, by leading captivity captive, emptied paradise and filled heaven with the redeemed dead, is basing a pyramid on its apex. It means on the point, turning a pyramid upside down, on a single phrase which is manifestly too slender to bear so enormous a superstructure. There is no way you can tie through the Scriptures that paradise is captivity, and that Jesus leading paradise to heaven through that little phrase, leading captivity captive, it is ridiculous to think that's what that is implying. The saints' incorruptible bodies occurred simultaneously in the twinkling of an eye. The saints' incorruptible bodies occur simultaneously in the twinkling of an eye. In one simultaneous event. It is a collective event. Body and soul will be raised and united. The body or soul descending from heaven is never alluded to when the rapture occurs. The scriptures say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Let me read that again. "Behold, I show you a mystery." Paul is quoting this. These are the words of Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit to pen these words. Says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." The following resurrection event is often misinterpreted to assume that the deceased saints prior to Jesus' resurrection rose with incorruptible glorified bodies right after his resurrection. It is true that many bodies of the saints arose after Jesus' resurrection. They, however, did not raise incorruptible, but arose in mortal bodies like Lazarus when Jesus resurrected him. They were brought back to life in mortal bodies, not immortal bodies. Those mortal bodies mean only to die again. Lazarus died again, as others who were raised from the dead throughout the scriptures, they had mortal bodies and died again. So listen to Matthew chapter 27. The scriptures tell us, as just two phrases here, two passages, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies," not all, many, not all, key point, I'll bring this out, bear this out here in a little bit, but "and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." It doesn't say that they went into heaven, but went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many. So we notice, too, that there is no indication that these saints arose into heaven, but just upon the earth. They arose to be a witness of Jesus' resurrection. They later returned to the grave, as did Lazarus. If these saints, as mentioned, resurrected into heaven, then the resurrection rapture is an ongoing event for the last 2,000 years instead of a one-time, instantaneous, miraculous future event. If upon the saints' death they are transported to heaven, it would be fair to say that the resurrection is past for all the deceased saints. This, however, would contradict what we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Again, note in this passage in Matthew that not all the saints were raptured, but only many were resurrected. We know from Acts chapter 2 that David did not ascend into heaven. And of all the Old Testament saints, how could David be left out of ascending into heaven? Something is wrong in this picture. What becomes of the saints that were not resurrected in Matthew 27? So are some in heaven and some in the earth? Because it said many, not all the saints resurrected upon the earth and went into the holy city and testified to many and appeared unto many. And that occurred right after Jesus rose from the grave. Notice, again, in Matthew 27, the dead in Christ were not transported to heaven when Jesus ascended to heaven. There's no indication of that. There's no mention of that. Here's another quote from D.M. Panton. Life in Christ is good. Death in Christ is better. Resurrection in Christ is best. Samuel Rutherford, from 1661, he was quoted by many of the preachers and our founding fathers of this nation. He was famous for preaching on Lex Rex and Rex Lex. That's where either the king is law or the law is king. Those are two Latin phrases, Lex Rex or Rex Lex. Our founding fathers and the preachers of the founding of this nation taught that the law of God and the constitutional law, the rights of the people, was king. And that's what we believe. We don't have a monarch in America. The Constitution is the monarch. The law is the monarch in our nation. The law is king, and it starts with the Word of God being the ultimate law. So Roman numeral 7 in our notes, spiritual nakedness and the disembodied soul. The law of God also forbids a disembodied soul to stand in the presence of God in heaven. Let me repeat that. The law of God also forbids a disembodied soul to stand in the presence of God in heaven. That means a soul without a body. Remember, we talked about when death occurs, the body and the soul separate. The soul is eternal. The body dies and goes to the grave. The law of God forbids it. So death is an unclothing, we learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Death is an unclothing. God's kings and priests may not appear before him unclothed. Listen to Exodus chapter 28. And thou shalt make them breeches, linen breeches, to cover their nakedness. Okay, this is talking, the Lord is talking to Moses about the high priest and the priests, and that they are to have linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thigh they shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statue forever unto him and his seed after him. If you study all the pagan religions of Rome and Greek and Babylon, their attire of the priests and the virgins, the harlots, they bore nakedness. They were scantily clothed. But God says he wants his priests to be covered, fully clothed, linen breeches. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, And Revelation 5:10 teach that the saints are made kings and priests unto God. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 26 says, "Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." The Lord, throughout the scriptures, especially Leviticus 18, and we'll read one of the passages from Leviticus 18, deals with nakedness. God is very stern and warns about nakedness throughout the scriptures. We read in John and Luke, the Bible teaches us that the saints are Jesus's friends and brethren. And so Leviticus 18:6 says, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." Stern warning about nakedness in Leviticus chapter 18. To touch a corpse or even a grave was to be unclean. And whosoever touches one that is slain with a sword in the open fields, or a dead body, or a bone of a man, or a grave, shall be unclean 7 days. Stay with me, because we're going to bring this out, explain this in more detail about being unclean and being naked. Nor was it a corpse only which defiled. A far deeper defilement sprang from the contact with a departed spirit, like a seance. Scriptures tell us in Deuteronomy 18, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits." That's one who makes contact with the dead, like the witch of Endor, a seance, or a wizard, or a necromancer. "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord." Death, in all its parts, is legal uncleanness. It is the visible curse of God resting on man, the sinner. It is the foul rotting of the leprosy of sin. None such can stand in the presence of the Lord until resurrection has finally obliterated all taint and consequences of sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan," means in this body, this earthly body, "being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed," okay, disembodied, unclothed, "but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." One day we will have immortality. But not now. When the saints who pass on, they go on to paradise with the soul, and their body goes to the grave, and they are unclothed. The resurrected body is paramount for the soul to be present with the Lord. The reverse of that is forbidden in Scripture and in these types that we've mentioned from the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The dead must be risen first before they enter the presence of the Lord. And Job 19:26 confirms this. Job said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body," that means that death, the body decays and goes to the grave, "yet in my flesh," resurrected flesh, immortal flesh, "shall I see God." And that is still future for Job just as much as it is for all the dead in Christ. Those who saints, Old Testament, New Testament saints, that's still future for all of us. That's why we're told to be watching and waiting being prepared and being ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Affirmative revelation also establishes this truth. The resurrection of the body is a fact absolutely carnal to the Christian faith. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Hence, atonement has never been made. Death still reigns. The curse clings to the dead forever. But Christ is risen. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus, the Holy Spirit, from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hear me out. Let me say that again. He that raised up Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit, and if you read throughout Scripture, Christ rose himself from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and the Father raised, God the Father raised Christ from the dead. Three in one. He that raised Christ up from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Notice, bodies, mortal bodies, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That is still a future event. There in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Obviously, this has not happened yet. For a naked soul, judicially disembodied, to enter the presence of God on high would be to approach him in the shrouds of the curse. For the body has been redeemed. Glorified human spirits or souls are unknown to the Word of God.
You have been listening to Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Wyndham Hotel, formerly the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and his coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. That's gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. No.